competitions. So next week is April 10th. And Brad Turnberg and Bob Fowler and Crystal and Brandon Wheeler are going to come talk to y'all about why you need a will and how to do a will and answer all your questions about wills. So you know this event. So, you know, sometimes we talk about things that aren't very fun. That might be one of them, but they're still important. Then the week after that will be Steve Rader. Do I need to move here?
I'm trying to get him to write a will right now.
She's going to do it next week.
Oh, well, we're all going to go.
She's
going to
be ready by next week.
Don't leave tonight before you get one.
You can write it on a piece of paper right now. Hi, Matt Walton. Yay, we're so glad. That's so awesome. Okay, so next week, Bob Fowler, Brad Turnberg, and the Wheelers talking about why wills are really important and why every single one of you, if you have given birth or have a child, should have one. Don't miss it just because it sounds morbid. It's not as important. Week after that is Holy Week, and the kids are all going to have something really amazing to do from first grade through the youth. So first through youth, we'll do something for that Holy Week Wednesday night experience when we have Dr. Todd Still here doing Bible study with y'all downstairs. So no dish in that week, but special things for the kids and for y'all. Week after that, I'm really excited. We're going to end our last two editions. Joe and Claire Frazier. Somebody else, Manny. Lainey Klein and Randy and Katherine Johnson, who all have raised the most amazing children in the world, are all going to come talk to y'all about what it's like to be kind of on the other side a little bit. And then our very last edition will be praying circles around your children. And Claire Hine-Lenton actually went to a place, I don't know where it was, I don't remember, but and heard this woman speak, and she said she was just fabulous. So that'll be our last edition for this year. I'm going to ask y'all at all of the next editions, like, what do you want to do for edition next year? Do you like the time? Do you like the ideas? What would you like to hear more of, less of, et cetera, et cetera? So be thinking about that.
Can we have, like, a list of some of the people that came? Because I don't remember who they were, but the people that we need to have again.
Yes.
Because there's some that I was like, we need more than an hour.
Right. For sure. For sure.
I mean, people need more of an hour with me.
And I need a different time. Or I need to double myself.
Yes. We would like to double you.
I would like to double you.
Yes. Or just sing worse. I mean, I'm telling you, all the options. Bye, Greta. We'll miss you. I know. You can sing worse. Okay. Before we get started on tonight's topic, what I want you to know, if you have a child in on the first floor, if you have a child who's in Sunday school on the first floor, this Sunday, we're going to have a box with your name on it to take home a Jesus Week box. You can use it for the whole year. It could be Jesus year, but it coincides with Holy Week. And in each box, there is this most precious little Jesus book. That's why I'm not calling it a Holy Week book, because it does more than just Holy Week with Jesus. And in your box, you will have this book, and you will also have little devotionals to do for each page that are really super age appropriate for first floor children. When I say first floor children, I mean 3 years old and older, though. So I don't mean all the first floor people. So be on the lookout for that. Jump, any questions or thoughts for me before we get started with our esteemed panel of guests?
I said there's not a bell in it again.
The bell went home with the waves, y'all. Pray for them.
There was one box that had a bell in it. Yes.
That was for worship. The children, worship. It's really important.
To toll the
hour. It's to toll the hour. It gets quiet every time in the little church. I'm telling
you. Mom.
I hit it. I'm 2 days.
Good enough. Good enough. All right. Tonight, I have asked these wonderful people to come and share with y'all many things. But as they're doing that, I'm going to ask y'all, if you would like to, there are thank you notes on your tables in front of you. While you're sitting and listening, if a volunteer, a leader, a teacher, someone that's here at South Main Baptist Church come to your mind, if you will write a note to them and leave it on the table, I will make sure it gets in the mail to them. FYI. So I'm going to let these guys introduce themselves. I'm going to ask them to tell you a little bit about themselves. But before we do that, let me talk to you for just a quick second about how we select volunteers, how we ask people, some of you know this because you are a volunteer, to become a volunteer in the family ministry program. So the first thing is we have a child protection policy document, which is lovely, and we're very happy with it. And it says, as a requirement, that volunteers in the family ministry program must be members of South Main Baptist Church for at least 6 months. Cheris, did you pass that?
No.
Must receive a personal recommendation from a longer tenured church or staff member. And I will tell you, 99.9% of the time, anybody who has ever volunteered in the family ministry is someone that I already know personally and we have a relationship and I already think they're awesome. And must pass a national criminal background check and child abuse registry check. So you have to meet all those requirements. But in addition to that, our very first requirement is that you have a heart that is ministry first. So, like, for instance, it's easy to think about choir, and you could, when you see the musical that's coming up, it could be that we pick the most talented child to have the starring role, but that's not ever what we do. It may turn out that they are the most talented, but that's not the first choice. The first consideration, I should say, is always, what does this child need? So when we ask people to volunteer, it is because they have a heart for ministry first. They love Jesus first, and they love children first, and then they are really good at the thing that we're asking them to do. So I just want to make sure y'all knew that, and if you volunteered, you probably know that about yourself, and if you haven't volunteered, you probably noticed that about the people that do volunteer. Let me tell you a couple quick things about what we want volunteers doing. We want them to authentically, and you're going to see this little note at the top of the page if you want to follow along, authentically teach your kids about Jesus through their words, their actions, and mostly by their example. Because if their example does not support their words or their actions, then they're not speaking the truth to children, and nobody can sniff that out faster than a kid. We want them to help connect your kids to a larger faith community. We want them to know your child, their name, where they live, which may not be your physical address, but where they live, where their heart beats, what they have done, what they can do, and what matters to them, and to nurture them into long-term relationships along their faith journey. So I just want to put that on paper for y'all to see, because I want that to be in the back of your mind as you're listening to these amazing people share more with you about what they do. I also, last thing I want to tell you is, you may have heard me speak about this before, but we have 5 values in the family ministry, the first of which is safety. So we have a child protection policy, which outlines a lot of safety things for us. We try to be safe in all things we do. We ask you to show us your guardian receipt, even though we know you're the guardian 1,000 times, because it's part of what we do in safety. Another one of our values is, this is a plus sign. It might not look like a plus sign, but imagine it as a plus sign. So we try to plus things and make things more excellent. Plusing is the thing I learned from Disney because I love Disney. But what's the most excellent way? We talk a lot about on our team that we're not trying to be perfect, but we are trying to be excellent. If you're trying to be perfect, you're always going to miss that mark, and you're also going to be tempted to make things inauthentic in order to be perfect. So we're not about perfection, but we are about excellence. Creativity is one of our values, and hopefully you'll hear that and see that. Intentionality is our 4th value. So we like to think about the things we're going to do, the plays we're going to make before we do, and make sure we actually do them to make sure that they make sense and that they have a longer vision. And the last and my favorite value is putting the right people in the right places. So if you play checkers, the checker piece can be played to do anything, right? Every checker piece is exactly the same. They all do the exact same things. But when you play chess, you have to think about each piece, what that piece is intended to do, and use it in that capacity. And so we like to think we put the right people in the right places. And with that, I have no more words to tell you other than to introduce our panel. I'm going to have y'all go in order of the age you teach. So Missy's first, Cheris, Greg, and then Josie. And first, what I want you to do is take turns, introduce yourself, Tell us a little bit about what you do when you're not volunteering at the church. Tell us about your family, and tell us about the age group that you have.
Hey, I am Missy Wells. I am married to Steve. He is my one and only. He's been, not that Steve, my Steve. Dolores and I say that all the time. Your Steve, my Steve.
That's right.
That's right. So, let's see. I am the mother of three adults. Rachel is 26. She is married to Blake, who we absolutely adore, and they live in Dallas, which at least is in the same state. I have to remind myself that I immediately moved very far away from my parents, so at least my daughter is still in the same state, which I didn't do that for my parents. Anyway, they are wonderful young adults. They have fabulous jobs up in Dallas, and they just bought their first house, and so we're doing all the fun things of decorating a house and helping them get grounded and established. And then I have two boys. Ben is a senior at Baylor. He will graduate in December, so he's going to go an extra semester, and he is a corporate communications major, and if you've ever met Ben, you know he can talk to a brick wall, so he will do something that keeps him on the move all the time and works with people. Josh, my baby, my 6'1" baby, is a history major, and he is a sophomore, and he is my Mr. Steady in the Boat rule follower. So if you tell Josh something, he's going to do it that way, and he is very black and white. So I have three very, very different children who've had three very different experiences all at the same college, and so it's always fun when they call because you never know what they're going to say next. But I am very proud of them. The reason I teach in the two-year-olds, Joshua will tell you, is because none of my own children can sit in my lap anymore. And I love for children to come sit in my lap and read stories. And really, two-year-olds for me are one of the most fascinating ages because they come to me and they're just sort of babbling and figuring things out. And in the year that I have them, all the little light bulbs start to turn on and their language comes together. And I get to be one of the first people to help them see that God made them and that Jesus loves them all the time, no matter what, everywhere they go. And so we talk a lot about God made me and God made the animals and God made the trees and all those wonderful things. But one thing they will know for sure when they leave my class is that Jesus loves them. When we first came to South Main 16 years ago, Steve and I had our 13-hour-long interview with the search committee, and they brought me in at one point, and I thought, okay, here we go. And they told me, they said, what is important to you? And at that time, believe it or not, Josh and Ben were little bitty squirts. Ben was 6, and Josh had just turned 5, but they were little skinny guys. And the most important thing to me was that my kids could be kids and love the church. I said, I want them to love coming to church. I want them to want to be here every time the door is open. And so that is one of the most exciting things to me about our family ministry right now, is that from little bitty to all the way big, there's stuff going on that the kids don't want to miss. And they know that when they come here, they can still be kids. And I told the search committee, my kids are going to run in the halls. It might even happen in the sanctuary once. And you have to love them anyway. You know, I will tell them, you know, we're not supposed to do that. But they need to know that the church is a place where they can be themselves. And that means being kids. And sometimes kids are loud. And sometimes kids cry. And most of the time, kids just want to learn. And so as long as they get to learn about Jesus, that's what it's all about. Don't leave anything out.
How long have you been teaching two-year-olds?
I don't know. At least 5 years? Some of mine are really big. What age is Brody now?
Brody is, he'll be 9.
Well, my first group was James Bernal and Callie.
They're in fifth grade now.
Yeah, Callie Mays. Mm-hmm. So they're in fifth grade. So the fifth graders were my first group of two-year-olds. That's a long time.
Cheris? Thank you, Missy.
You're welcome. I'm Cheryl Smith. I'm the oldest person here.
Not in your heart. Not in your heart.
Surprise. All of my grown children are older than you. so every time Dolores uses the word awesome, I kind of cringe. Because that's the word that means perfection, whether she intends it to or not. And it's not always easy. I have been at South Main for, let me do some arithmetic in my head, 58 years, which means I've seen a lot of you grow up here. I'm in my third generation for some people. Josh came into our three-year-old choir, four-year-old choir when he first came. My children played with Missy when she was a child here. Dolores may not ask me how long I've taught which class because it's been various classes. I've taught sixth grade, I've taught first grade, I've taught second grade. I guess I've been on first grade this time around. I like first grade because they're ready to quit being kindergartners. Since my directions last night were to talk about wisdom and love, I'll try and make up my speech on the spur of the moment. My wisdom is part of Sunday school is to help children in a God-centered situation learn that task of first graders, which is to go from being an individual to part of a group. That means you learn that sometimes it's your turn, sometimes it's not. It means that you're kind to your person sitting next to you. It means that when there's a game to do, you're a part of that game. And I really like that through the years, I see the school skills pick up. They read a little better. And I have to tweak it as we go along. You know, where I feed them one word at a time to fill in at the first of the year. By the end of the year, they can read a verse, and it's theirs. We memorize 9 verses during the year and work on that. It's just an interesting thing to see them both learn to handle themselves and to handle themselves with others. Now, part of that long time, I also taught school. So I have to tell you, I'm not just a cuddly person. I'm going to look you in the eye and say, that's enough. And, you know, they learn that that's what they need to do along the way. If I had the one thing I'd like to ask of you as parents is get your children here on time. Think of Matt's sermons. Think of Greg's sermons. Think of Steve's sermons. If you've got a really good adult Sunday school teacher, their first 5 minutes are laying the foundation, telling the joke, giving the story, drawing you in. And when I've already started something with children that I've made into a group, and someone comes in, there's this little fight for peer pressure. You know, we're not going to sit. What's going on now? And it just really helps if you can start at one level and get them all in. That's kind of my wisdom, so you can take that for what it is. Love, there's always love. I'm the one that's had the hardest time with having 2 small groups of first graders this year because I've missed the third Milam girl, and I had the other 2. I will live through it and probably do better sometime. But right now, I wanted a family birth all the way. And so what I think sustains me every year is seeing the tribe, the teenagers, the seniors that go off to college, and they all started with me, and I like that.
Thank you, Cheris. Greg Taylor, up.
I'm Greg Taylor. I'm a newbie compared to Cheris. I've been at this church for maybe 32 years or so. My wife is Suzanne, and we have 3 children. Jordan, who's 31, Zach, who will be 30 next month, and Blake, who just turned 28. They grew up in this church. And I have one grandchild now who's 6 months old, so we're really excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
I teach the tribe boys, and that's 5th, 6th, and 7th grade. And some people go, oh, those are the worst kids ever. But I would say no. I love all kids, actually. And I guess the thing, I've tried to convince my wife that when our kids were grown, we should start all over and have more kids. She thought that was the worst idea.
She's like, those are grandchildren, Greg.
Yeah. I mean, if it were up to me, I would have 20 kids. I would have, you know, adopted. And I go on mission trips and work with orphans, and Suzanne has to make me promise not to bring home kids with me when I come back. Anyway, I like that age group. The 5th, 6th, and 7th grade, for me, it's an important age. It was important to me in my life. When I was a 6th grader, I had a Sunday school teacher who was very instrumental in my life and kind of helped me go in the right direction and took an interest in me and really mentored me, even though I don't know that's what you called it back then. It was very instrumental, so I always think that that's a good way to maybe kind of pay that forward. I think that it's also a really important time in kids' life. They're going through, they're starting puberty and going through changes, and it can be a very confusing time, but it's a real instrumental time. So I like to feel like I can maybe help guide some kids at that age. I like the fact that we have them for 3 years because you get to know them really well over that time. The other thing I like is we, for that age, I like to think about Jesus when he turned 12 and went to the temple. And in the Jewish faith, you reach your bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah when you're 13. So that's where those kids are told that now they're responsible for their spiritual life. They've become an adult. And prior to that, your parents are in charge of your behavior and your spiritual growth. And what I try to tell the kids is once you reach kind of that age, it's now up to you. You've got to work on your spiritual life. You've got to be in charge. It's up to you. We work through our salvation or through our spiritual maturity together. And so I like to instill in them at that age some habits. We start the habit of trying to read our Bible every day. We memorize Bible verses, and I'm encouraging the boys now to keep a Bible diary. We try to teach them that in our group, in the tribe, that we're a family, that we support each other, that we love each other, we don't make fun of each other, we don't cut each other down. And they're really good about that. We teach a real sweetness, which I think is a good thing for boys to have in the right way for each other, where we care for each other and we treat each other like family. There's no bad questions. There's no silly questions. All of our questions are good, and so we try to address those. And we also try to teach them that God loves us, and he wants us to be authentic with him and to bring him all of our issues. Hence the keeping the diary, where we can talk about, you know, I don't understand this, or why is this, or, you know, what are we studying and what are we trying to memorize. So a big part of it is trying to start the habits that I think will help the kids as they mature, you know, through high school. And I think if you can start the habits young, that they're habits that they'll keep as an adult. What else am I supposed to say?
I think that was really good.
Or answer.
Thank you. Josie.
My name's Josie Adney. I'm married to Brandon Adney. He's a youth ministry resident, and I volunteer with the youth. We co-parent a dog right now. That's about our capacity at the moment. Her name is Winnie. She's super cute. And yes, I love spending time with the youth. I haven't been a volunteer for very long, but I found that each week I look forward to my time with the youth, whether that's just in Sunday school, which I co-teach with Brandon. We teach a group of 8th through 10th graders, so kind of a mixed group, boys and girls, different personalities and opinions, and yet they come together and have a really good time every week. Or often I try to pop in on a youth event like a Friday fun night, or if Brandon's going out to get ice cream with someone, I try to hop along to get to know some of the other kids that I don't co-teach with him. And something I love about adolescents is that they really are starting to discern who they are and grow more in their strengths and their personalities. Not quite, I work with college students at HBU, but not quite as a young adult, but they're entering into this stage where they're discovering what they believe and who they want to be and who they admire. And so I feel like each of these kids are looking for someone to engage with and to ask questions to and to learn from. And I really cherish the opportunity to get to know them, to ask them about their week and about their family and what they think. And they always have lots of thoughts that they want to share. So there's never a lack of those. But I also really enjoy the idea that they're mobilizing. That's the idea for the youth group, is mobilize. And so they're like taking their faith and they're starting to do things with it, whether that's with their friends at school or in their family or whatever extracurricular activities they do. And so I like trying to like empower them, like, yeah, like great job at soccer, Caden, like I'm so glad you won the game, like, you know, what's going on in your life here, what are your friends like, how do you talk to them, like what do you do with them, and like encourage them for their faith to start to encompass the other areas, not just church, but like really start to become mission-minded with their friends and things like that. So I really enjoy the opportunity that I've been given.
Yeah. Thank you, Josie. Yeah. So y'all know that first through fourth grade and 8th through 12th grade, we have their Sunday school groups or family groups, as we call them once they get to youth, are multi-grade and both boys and girls, but the group size is so that about 8 kids are there in each group every Sunday. So there might be 12 kids in a family group, but what that allows us to do is look at all the kids, match the kids' personalities with their leader personalities. That's like one of my favorite things to do over the summer, is look at all your kids and like, who would be really great together and how could they build up each other and who would be a really great leader that would see these things. Of course, y'all know on the first floor, we're like all graded. And so Missy has how many kids in your class right now?
We're running about 8 to 10 a week.
Perfect, yeah. Perfect. And then as Greg mentioned, in the tribe, we take all the girls and they meet together. So 5th through 7th girls all meet together and 5th through 7th grade boys all meet together. Because it turns out there's a huge difference between a 6th grade girl and a 6th grade boy. The things they're interested in talking, how long they can sit still, all of these things are different. So just want to make sure y'all know that. All right, I have a few questions. I'm going to throw them out there. And I'm going to throw out 4 questions. I want you each to pick one and talk to it. Give us like maybe a 1-minute answer. Here are your questions. Why do you do it? What is the hardest part? Your favorite story, and the biggest thing that didn't go the way you expected. So pick one of those 4 and share with us. Why you do it, what's the hardest part, your favorite story, and the, like, I thought this was going to work this way on Sunday morning, and then it didn't.
Is that what you want me to tell?
Yeah, you picked that one, Cheris.
Oh, creativity is wonderful. Until it doesn't do right. For years, my husband was in the chemical business, and we did things like make volcanoes at school where the boys mix things and they bubbled over the top. And what I learned to do was take dry ice and put it in a big iron Dutch oven, and you pour the orange pop over it for Halloween, and it bubbled up, and you had witch's brew, and everybody loved it. And, you know, except for the mothers that said, oh, should they really drink that? And I said, it's like Coke. It's fizzy water. Don't worry about it. Now, let me see why I was doing this. It involved dry ice. And I paid $10 for a block to bring to Sunday school. And I managed to get towels and get it in something. And I brought an ice pick and a hammer. I'm sorry, I got in the middle of this and I forgot what the purpose was. Anyway,
I don't see how this could possibly go bad. Like, guys, ice pigs, small children.
I knew what it was going to do, and I got ready to chip it with the thing, the ice pick, and it didn't chip. And Maddox figured out what I was doing wrong, and you know, Joan wanted to touch the dry ice, and if you do, your hands could get blistered. And, you know, it was one of these things that I had to say, Jim, why don't you all go color and all those. I'm sorry, I even forgot why I did it. I think I tried to block it out.
But it was not a good day. Not a good day.
When I wrote it down, it sounded.
It sounded really good. Yeah, I have all kinds of those. Josie, do you have one to answer?
Can you?
Yes. Why? Why? Why do you do it? What's the hardest part? A favorite story to share? Maybe what's the most important thing you do?
Oh. Is that a question up for grabs? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll do what's the most important thing you do. Perfect. For 100 points. I think the most important thing that I get to do with the youth is to show interest in them and listen to them. I experienced this kind of similar to how you did when you had a mentor in middle school. I had a mentor in high school who really helped, actually 8th grade through 12, which is cool because that's how we group them. But she really helped me grow in my faith. She showed me what mature faith looked like and never limited me on, said like, oh, you're too young to think or feel that deep or that much. And a great example is like Jessie Horton. She's in the youth. She is so mature. And so part of what I do, like with her, with the other girls, is listen to them and soak in what they say, let them talk, and I always like allow them to express like what they're feeling or thinking, and never limiting them on how mature they can be or how deep they can think or feel things towards the Lord or towards others or whatever. So I think that's one of the most important things I do with them. I think that's a lot of what they need. A lot of times in high school, people are just like talking, but everyone's talking at each other and no one's listening to each other. And so when you have someone who will sit down and like actually listen, ask questions, follow up, remember what you said, somehow that's like so profound to them. And so that's my favorite thing to do. Thank you.
You see, or Greg, who's next?
Which question? Well, I think I've already kind of told you why I do it, but the other reason that I do it is because I think it's really important for parents to have a break and to be able to go to your own place and be able to have community and talk like adults and be loved on and grow and disciple yourselves. And if you don't feel like you can drop your screaming child off, which that's one of the first years I started, I had a screamer. And the mom would drop her off. The mom was Russian, and the little girl hadn't really learned English yet. So that was one of my most difficult moments for sure. But I would often have to just hold her while I was doing other things and talk to her. And by the end, she was playing with all the other kids. But that mom got to go, and I told her, I said, if it gets too bad, we will track you down. We can call you. We can find you. We know where you are. But I promise you, you're going to leave and she's going to stop crying. And she did every time. And Miss Hortensia is magic for that, too. Every now and then you'll see her pushing a stroller in the classroom because there's a child that just needs to calm down a little bit. But I think it's really important for y'all to have community. And I say that because at the time when mine were toddlers, I lived in a teeny tiny small town. And I didn't have all that much community. And there really weren't very many kids the age of my kids, and so I even when I dropped them off at church, I didn't have a place where I could go and get fed. And so I think that's one of the neatest things about South Maine is there's so many places for y'all to go and plug in and get fed and to learn. And don't worry about your kids. I promise we're gonna take good care of them, even when they bonk their head. I promise we're gonna get out the little first time she brought Austin, the very first time, he bonked his head good on the kitchen. He pulled the cabinet and
it wasn't the first time
head.
That he ever bonked.
Well, that's exactly what she said when she picked him up, which made me feel much better. I said, I'm so sorry. But we got his back out and we loved on him and all those things were all good. So that's the other reason that I do what I do, is because I want y'all to be able to plug in and love the church too.
Right, do you remember what your question is?
What's that?
The best thing.
Oh, I have to answer a different question?
Yes, you have to answer a different one.
So what is my question?
Maybe what is the hardest part?
The hardest
I don't think we've answered that yet.
I think the hardest part, just for me, is having enough time. Mm-hmm. I tend to be long-winded. My kids used to joke and call me the professor because they would ask me, well, simple question, and I would give them the, you know, the history of the universe answer. I tend to start, you know, rambling on with the kids, and so we were always coming in right before church starts. So to me, the hardest part is having enough time. And I like spending time with the kids, and it's not having enough time during the Sunday school hour, but it's also not having enough time, like, during the week to go see what activities they're involved in and to support them in their lives. I would really like to have more time to be able to do those things, but I'm somewhat limited. So.
And can I tell a story?
Yes, please.
Brooke, give me permission.
Uh-oh. That's a pretty, like, open slate right there.
I love Brooke's twins. I have had them since preschool years. And the best thing about any year, I don't care whether it's Missy's year or senior year, is see that moment from where they were to where they're something else. And Peyton had a hard start to first grade. You know, it was always his turn. It was his turn now. It was his turn next. It was his turn after that. And we worked at it, and I dug out my bag of tricks, and we talked about it, and, you know, it just was a hard growing time. And we got to spring, and we had the story of the wise man building his house on the rock. And I'm only half technical, so my solution is I can bring my laptop and put it in front of me when I find this movie, and the taller ones can sit in chairs and the little ones sit on the floor in front of them. So I have my 8 children there. They can see the wise man building his rock on, house on the rock. And I said to them, okay, I'm going to give you 3 directions. I want the people in chairs to put their, and about 3 of them stood up. And I said, no, sit back down. There's going to be 3 directions. So I tried them again, and we got to number 2. This time we're going to do 3. Number 1 is, and about that time I looked over, and Peyton had his hands on his chair, and his face looked like this, and he was saying, almost loudly enough to be heard, I think I'm going to make a mistake. I think I'm going to make a mistake. And you could just see by his whole body. And when I said, and 3, you know, then do so and so. Now you may move. He said, I did it. You know, and I thought, I found his mother, and I said, we had the most wonderful day today. And I told her in front of Peyton, because I said, knowing when you're about to step wrong is a step forward. And I think that's what Sunday school is about almost every week, is doing the things, finding the word to say, or the ice pack to have, or the journal to start that says you can move from here to here, and somebody will be there to help you.
Right, that was beautiful, Jerry. does anyone have a question or something they'd like to ask the panel before we wrap up?
I'd just like to say thank you to all of you, because I know, not all of you have had my kids yet, but I know how much of an impact half of you have had on my children. So, I mean, it's as a parent, I mean, it's really important. And Cherish, you've been doing this for a long time, and you've had such a profound effect on so many people here. And I didn't grow up here. My wife grew up here. And my in-laws have been here for a long time, that sort of thing. And you know, even when I was teaching in the youth, I mean, they still talk about you. They still talk about things they learned in first grade. And you know, it means a lot. They don't, most of them don't remember 2 years old, so it's a little hard. But they still remember Miss Missy and Mr. Bill. And that, you know, even now at 5 years old, you know, there's Mr. Bill and there's Miss Missy. I mean, there really is a real profound effect that you have on them, and thank you for that. It means a lot.
I definitely remember you loving on them.
Yeah. Well, that's why I have to help with things like the musical and stuff, so they can go, oh yeah, I know you.
Hi, Emma thinks that you and Bill are married, by the way.
I have lots of kids. By every Sunday.
I just think it's fun that, like, there's, like, I don't know, three or four at that table that I remember being in the youth.
I heard that there's
a they're still between.
Oh, my
admiring it the other day.
I heard it. Oh.
No, but seriously, it just makes me smile so big whenever I see, like, and there's a lot. There's a lot of people who are in the youth that are in the choir and
chili
serving and parents. And so I can just get a taste of what Cherish gets. And it makes church so much better. Like, because you can see, like, in more than just the dimension. Like, you see through time and you see that just the... the wonderfulness that you guys would actually come back and raise your kids here.
Well, it's funny because I tell kids, I'm like, Miss Cherish and her husband used to bring peaches all the time. And she goes, you know Miss Cherish. She's not horse.
Well, these four people represent 163 people who volunteer at South Main Baptist Church in the family ministry alone. And like, these are the cream of the crop, but like, honestly, all 163 of them, I think, really are the cream of the crop. And I could ask any of them to come up here and like, they would share different but similar stories. Because again, like, you can tell ministry is the thing that is first in their heart. And so what they're doing is different, but the way they do it and the reason they do it and the place it comes from is the same. So I want to thank all four of you for being here tonight, for sharing and giving us all a little glimpse. And Josie, I wonder if you would pray for us before we leave.
Absolutely. All right, if you'll bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to have fellowship together, for the opportunity to talk about the work that you are doing in our lives as volunteers and as the lives of these families and the lives of the children that we're all here to love and serve. Lord, we pray that you would continue to equip us with your spirit of love and peace and strength and power as we go forth tonight to spend time with our families. To love and serve the children with your love, with sacrificial love, and with patience, Lord. We thank you for this community, for your church, and her work in our lives, and we want to glorify you with every minute of every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you all.